This show contains language and themes that may be considered offensive to some. Please use your best judgment about whether or not you should be listening. Okay, I just got done watching the, two of the last three episodes of, Flash Forward. Alright, I don't know what happened, but I watched, like, one, I missed two, and then I watched three. Okay, simple as that. But to tell you the truth, this show moves kind of so slow that it doesn't even really matter. You can miss an episode, and really not a whole lot will change in the overall grand scheme of things, right? The ones I watched, for those of you who are keeping track, were the one where they went to Somalia. And then there was the skipped episode. I don't know what happened. And when I came back, it was the one where they discovered who the mole is. Now, this mole subplot has been going on for, I want to say like since maybe the second or third episode of the show, maybe. And they finally figured out who it is, okay? I'm not going to spoil who it is, because to me it was ridiculous, okay? okay. Now, for those, and I'm pretty sure you remember, if you've listened to the show before, then you know what Flash Forward is. And you know it's one of the reasons why I have a problem with sci-fi and how they do time travel, I should say. I have a problem with time travel and how it's done in sci-fi. Because we all do time travel the same way, the only possible way it could conceivably be done, which is 1 second at a time. Now, this show revolves around one basic premise. The world blacked out for like 2 minutes, 17 seconds. And in that time, people saw glimpses of their future. Okay? And that's what the whole thing was, you know, written in stone. This is what's going to happen in the future. Then they, they changed the rules, but they made a big story point about it, right? There's one guy who saw that he was going to kill somebody in a car accident, killed himself before he could kill this woman, and I don't know if he killed her and her two kids, or he killed her and she had two kids, but he's dead, and that changed the future. All right. Now, when that happened, it was done to show, you know, that the future is fluid and you don't know what's going to happen. However, there are still other people whose future are apparently written in stone. You know, it's like his future wasn't, you know, but everybody else's on the shows are, you know. One guy is supposed to die. Another guy is supposed to be in this one place when gunmen are coming. And, you know, the dude's wife is supposed to leave him for some other dude, right? All of that is supposed to happen. All of that is set in stone, you know? We finally found out what the main FBI agent's daughter saw, right? It ties directly into the flash forward of an entirely different person who she's never met. And they both see each other at the same time. So they both know, and you know, everybody else can see everything else, and it all just matches up. Right. This is where I have a problem. with some things being written in stone for some people and some things not for others, okay? They are really starting to abuse that kind of privilege, you know, that one storytelling conceit. They changed the rules, okay, without really truly fully explaining it, okay? Just that, you know, things can be changed, you know? Now, there's two types of deals, okay? Now, you could say that because he killed somebody, this guy decided to change his future, and that's how it was, and you can only change your future. Okay. In Somalia, they came across this warlord, and I don't know who the actor was, but that guy should get more work, okay? Because he has charisma. When he first came on the screen and he was chewing bubble gum and he was shooting people, I was like, I like this dude, you know? But anyway, neither here nor there. He saw himself as a person who was going to reform Somalia, okay? He was going to bring all of the warring factions together under his, I'm not going to say his rule, but his leadership, his guidance, okay? And the whole thing, the way that they prove it to him is they go on the internet and they go to this Mosaic project, which if you've been watching, or if I think I may have mentioned it, this is a big web-based database of everybody, of what everybody saw, their premonitions, you know, their flash forwards, their prophecies, as it was, as they all of a sudden started calling for just this one episode, right? And not only did he see himself giving that speech, but there were like a bunch of other people who were witnesses to that speech, okay? Now, you know what? Screw it. I'm going to spoil these two episodes. And at the end, you'll see why I'm going to spoil them, okay? But when this dude was about to do something that they didn't want to happen, which is basically he was going to kill Dominic Moynihan's character, you know, Charlie from Lost, or the guy who played one of the hobbits. I can't remember which one. He was going to kill his character, and the only way to stop him, instead of saying, no, don't do this, this is not your destiny, you know, trying to stop the guy, you know, with words, he gets shot in the back. Now, when he gets shot in the back, that kills him, okay? Although, that's kind of, it seems like any other time someone with a gun gets shot on this show, they pull the trigger. You know, they just jerk, pull the trigger. This guy has a gun to somebody's head, he pulls the trigger and nothing happens. That is just sloppy storytelling, if you ask me, but that's not the only instance of it, okay? Now, okay, so now you're saying that not only can you affect your flash forwards, but you can also affect dozens of other people's flash forwards. Because not only did they affect his, the guy who got killed, but also all the people who already went to the database and input that they saw him. Okay, now does this change the future of the people who saw this? Because they didn't die. You see what I'm saying? It's just like, okay, you guys, I realize that it's your show and there's a certain group of characters that you don't want anything to happen to, you know, that these are the guys who, you know, the story is about, and everybody else is just basically collateral damage. I understand that, but you also have to give some sort of explanation behind it. Why is it that these guys can do absolutely nothing to change their destiny, but everybody else can, right? Like, one of the guys knows for a fact that he's going to get shot. You know, everybody's telling him, yeah, you're going to get shot. They even give him the day that he's going to get shot, although he's supposed to get shot back in March, you know. However, if that's me, And they say, well, look, dude, you're going to get shot on this day, right? I'll tell you exactly what I'm doing. All right. I'm going off the I'm not going off the radar. I'm not going anywhere where nobody can find. I'm going to always be around another human being, right? If I get shot in the, if they say I get shot in the alley, guess what? I'm not going to be in the alley. I'll be in like I will be in a hospital. I'll be giving blood all that day. I will be surrounded by other people. I'll be in the middle of a pledge drive, right? I'll be at a bookstore. I'll be anywhere. Last place I'm going to be is anywhere near somebody with a gun. And yet this asshole's just going all around like, oh, we've got to find out because, you know, I'm going to die and I've got to find out the future, right? This one dude, his wife, who's so whiny. He's whiny and she's whiny. They're the perfect whiny couple together, you know? She sees that she's, you know, she's hugged up with some other dude, right? This other guy who basically took his woman, took his house. They were doing it in his bed, right? On his bedclothes, right? She's like, let's get out of here. Let's go to Denver. Let's just get away from all this. And he's like, I've got to figure this out. I'm like, wait a minute. You know what? If by figuring this out, my wife is going to be hugged up with some other man and I'm going to be getting drunk at work at midnight with a bunch of armed gunmen coming after me. Guess what? A Denver, I'm a going. I'm not going to be anywhere near there. Right now, you're probably thinking, all right, Derek, you're feeding into this stereotype of the black man in the horror movie, you know, who said, forget this, I'm not going to be anywhere near Jason. Shh, shh, shh. Damn right. As we see, I'm going to let you in on a little secret, right? All those Friday 13th movies, hey, I'm on Jason's side because those people shouldn't have been in the woods in the first place. That's all I'm saying. When Jason comes to Manhattan, you know, I don't live in New York, so who cares? And I'm not going into outer space. And I'm not going to be in 3D. Hey, wait a minute now. Anyway, so my whole thing is this, right? It bugs me that some characters are written in stone and others aren't. All right? Now, that episode bugged me, right? It really bothered me. As I'm watching, it's like, wait a minute. You know, this really irks me. You know, are we ever going to find out what these other people saw now? You know, how, you know, the death of this one guy who obviously was going to be a major player on a global stage, on a global way, you know, all of a sudden he's gone. So by shooting him, by not letting him kill this one dude, right, you have basically condemned the nation of Somalia to an endless war that's going to continue. Now remember, this is only like 6 months in the future. This guy was going to be able to stop the wars in Somalia in 6 months. But nah, the life of this one little dude is infinitely more important. So let's just go ahead and kill this one dude for another dude. Okay, whatever. Now, as frustratingly bad as that episode was, the next one I saw, which was like two episodes later, was even worse. Okay? Now, first off, they do this one little the cute thing that Flash Forward has been doing with the love story that really bugs me, okay? There's this dude with cancer. And yes, I don't remember any of their names. That's why they're either dude or guy, alright? So dude with cancer is supposed to meet this Japanese woman, okay? He even went to Japan, tried to find her, couldn't find her. Came back on the plane, right? And guess who else was on the plane? But, you know, they didn't see each other. All right. Okay. That's a little odd, but okay. You know, and I'm not going to say that when I fly, I look at everybody's face But if I'm coming back from Japan and I'm trying to find a Japanese woman, if I'm on a plane from Japan where there could quite possibly be Japanese women also on the plane, I'm going to at least look around and take a good look at them, okay? But that's just me. I didn't have a flash forward. Well, they do this thing where these guys, like, almost seeing each other, almost running into each other, you know? And it's just like, there you guys go again with this. Some people's future is written in stone bullshit, even if it's something as inconsequential as this. You know, I mean, the writers will pay a lot more respect to this one, but, you know, the civilization of Somalia, screw them. Anyway, that's not what bugged me about this episode. This is the episode with the mole, all right? Now, here you go, all right? You have a group of agents, okay? Now, there's the agents who've been in every episode, so, you know, none of them could possibly be the mole, right? Then you have guest stars, cameos from people who we've seen before and they've had sort of an impact, right? There's one dude who was in the episode where they got shot at when they went to Washington. That guy was in it. Okay, so you know, okay, he could possibly be mole, but kind of doubt it, right? Because there's also Seth MacFarlane. Yeah, that's Seth MacFarlane. And this woman who I don't ever recall even having a speaking part. I mean, it was kind of obvious to me who the mole was, all right? And then, of course, it turns out, oh, yeah, she's the mole. They find her. And she gets somebody's gun and starts busting caps right in the middle of the FBI office, right? And with all these FBI agents, a lot of them with their guns pointed at this woman, nobody could hit her. Nobody. You know, she's just popping caps and nobody is coming close to hitting this woman. She gets down the steps and they realize there's shots fired. Nobody's called saying, hey, let's get security downstairs at all exits because some crazy woman's coming out with a gun, right? None of that happens. She gets picked up by some person. I think it was a guy. Some guy on a motorcycle. They don't get away. The one female agent, the lesbian who's supposed to be getting pregnant, because, you know, all women on TV, whether they're straight or lesbian, all want a baby. Every single woman on the face of the planet wants a baby unless she ends up getting knocked up when she's a teenager and then she has to give her baby away, okay? Or, you know, and to get strung out on drugs and she has to give her baby to, you know, a respectable family. Okay, wow. Wow, all right. But that's just a whole different rant for a whole different show. All right. But she's one of the last people out of the building. And even though all these guys have like a head start, she gets there first. She hops in front of the motorcycle, who for some reason turns around and starts coming directly at her. She shoots the guy in the motorcycle and then catches the mole, you know, beating her and catching her, right? And as they are taking this woman, the mole, away, nobody bothers to go and take a look at the motorcycle guy. That's something else that I found kind of odd. Nobody's going to see, maybe we might recognize this dude. Nobody even takes a look because he got there pretty damn fast, all right? I mean, she didn't even know she was going to grab a gun and start busting caps. And yet, he was waiting to meet her when she got to the bottom of the steps. But, and this is another big spoiler. Spoiler, I wasn't going to spoil, but now I'm saying screw it. I'm going to spoil it, right? The pregnant lesbian agent, she's a second mole. Yeah. Now this, if you've been following the show, this is a woman who has been shot by the people she's working with. Okay. She got shot in the gut. Gut shot. Okay. It's ridiculous. You know, I'm something like, okay, you guys just wanted to go for a double twist. Like, okay, we got the mole, so now everybody's going to, you know, not look for another mole, right? Okay. In fact, they even said it, right? Because she got shot and survived. And they were just like, well, you know, who better than somebody who got shot and survived, you know? The way to get the, you know, the focus off of you. And I'm like, you know, if they had gone that road, that way I could have accepted it, right? And if she had set this other woman up, that's one thing, right? But no, it turns out she's a double mole. She knew one mole. Come on, really? The writers of Flash Forward have fallen into the same trap that a lot of other writers have, right? They are confusing complex storytelling with illogical twists and turns. Okay? It's just like those people who confuse mature storytelling with showing naked people or people swearing. Right? That's mature. Just like this is complex storytelling. No, it's illogical. It makes no sense. It's like you came up with something and it's like, huh, why don't we do this? And nobody's sitting there telling you, that's not going to work. When I got done with this episode, I was just like, I'm done with this show. I've given it chances and chances again. They are disregarding their own rules, unless it's for these, for just these characters. It's ridiculous. And like I said on Twitter, right? Actually, Friendfeed, which went over to Twitter. I can take ridiculous. And I can take stupid. But I draw the line at ridiculously stupid. And that's what this show has gone and turned itself into, a ridiculously stupid show. So I will no longer be watching Flash Forward. And you know what? Even if it gets good, I don't care. I don't want to hear about it. I think I've mentioned this before. There comes a time in almost every run of every show I've ever watched where I just get to the point where it's just like, all right, I'm done. You know, some people call it jumping the shark. Some people call it, you know, when Roz stepped into the elevator on L.A. Law, right? I don't care what you call it. I'm just done. I'm done with the show. I liked it. I wanted to like it even more. But there's only so many times that you can not only insult my intelligence, but insult the intelligence of everybody who has ever given you the benefit of the doubt. You know, if you're going to give, if you want to insult me, but you know, just do it from the beginning. Don't try to make it look like this is some, like I said, complex storytelling, when chances are you're just pulling your plot twists out of your ass. There's a episode of South Park where they were talking about Family Guy, because, you know, Family Guy has these really insane things where their jokes, their little flashbacks just come out of nowhere, right? And what did I say? That South Park put forth the theory that it's a bunch of sea lions just, you know, picking three things at random, and all of a sudden, hey, that's a Family Guy flashback, basically. That's what it seems like this is. Like they have some certain cliched story points, and they're like, okay, which one are we going to pull out this time? That's a shame, because a lot of the characters that were on this show, with the exception of like the main guys, I liked, you know. But oh well. Hopefully Mark Guggenheim can come up with another different show that he can be associated with, because Eli Stone was a good one and it failed. And this one, I'm sorry, flash forward, huge failure. Now, while Flash Forward only thinks that it's doing complex storytelling, when actually it's just not. I'm sorry. There's another show out there that is doing really complex storytelling in an adult, mature way without using profanity or nudity or strong sexual content, you know. And it is possible to have strong sexual content without nudity. It's all in the words you use, you know. And that's Stargate Universe. Now, when I say that it's more mature and basically more adult, it's just because it is, you know. It's showing... okay. For those of you who don't know, this is the third in the Stargate franchise. At least I think it's the third. How can I put this? All right, first off, let me just say, I saw the original movie, Stargate, and I wasn't all that impressed. So when they said they were going to have a television show based on the movie, I saw absolutely no reason for me to watch it. Just none whatsoever. Even though it lasted for, 10 years, there was just nothing there. Not even when they brought in MacGyver. There was just nothing there that just made me say, hey, you know what, I should hop on this, you know. And then when it ended, I believe, that's when they started Stargate Atlantis, or maybe they were going both at the same time. I don't know. I never watched that, because why would I watch Stargate? If, you know, why would I watch Stargate Atlantis if I didn't watch Stargate? And it seemed like it was a continuation of the story. Maybe on another location, I don't know. But whatever it was, it just didn't scream out to me, hey, Derek, watch this. Then came the announcement that it was ending and there was going to be another Stargate television show. And once again, I was like, I'm not going to bother watching this. But for some reason, I ended up reading the synopsis, you know. And it's basically a group of Stargate people who end up on a spaceship, on an unknown spaceship far away from home, basically. And my immediate thought was, sounds like Voyager, you know? And unlike a lot of people, I actually had very high hopes for Voyager, and I kind of liked it in the beginning. But then when I saw it was just another Star Trek show, I just lost, you know, my interest in the show. And then I don't know what happened, but I didn't even watch the first 9 or 10 episodes. And then I watched them all within a week or 2 week span, and I just fell for the show. It's like, wow. You know, it blew me away. This is the show that I wanted Voyager to be, you know. They didn't automatically know everything that was going on. They didn't have a way to automatically communicate with people that they, you know, with beings and races they had never seen before, right? That's one thing that really bugged me about Voyager, you know. They'd never been here before, yet they were able to communicate with absolutely no problem. You know, that's one thing that I really liked about the early It's one thing I really liked about the early episodes of Enterprise, is they actually had somebody there that was trying to, you know, the communications person was trying to, you know, figure out the languages to communicate with people. And then after a while, everybody was just speaking English, and it was just like, ugh, whatever. And you see, that's the problem with Star Trek. The shows, to me, start off with such promise. You know, this is something new, right? And then they just end up being more of the same, you know. Star Trek, the new generation, Next Generation, it started off like, okay, these guys are going to be different, you know. They're going to be telling, you know, different types of stories and all that kind of stuff. And what ended up happening is it just turned out to be just like the other one, you know. Here we had Deep Space Nine, where there was going to be like kind of like almost like a Western feel. You know, these guys were like on the edge of something dangerous, you know. Kind of like I felt like it's going to have like this Wild West vibe to it, and it turned out to be just another Star Trek Next Generation show. Voyager was, these people are going to be lost, they're going to be cut off away, and they have to figure out a way to survive. And I don't know if I've ever mentioned this. I know I mentioned this on Comic Book Noise a long time ago, but I'm a sucker for like post-apocalyptic stories, and I'm not talking about far flung. I'm just like right after things start going bad. You know, it's like I want to see how people put together civilization again. The Stand by Stephen King, one of my favorite stories, and I think it's because of that. It's because, all right, things are bad. Things are as bad as they can possibly get, and now we have to rebuild. And I like that whole rebuilding story. Swiss Family Robinson, Castaway. I like these types of stories, right? And I thought that Voyager was going to be like that, right? Where these people had to figure out how to live all over again, you know. Enterprise, this was going to be, you know, a look at the, you know, the beginning. You know, these guys were going to figure out a way to communicate with new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before, and they kept running into like the same people over and over again. And it was just like, okay. So Star Trek has always had that big failing to me, right? Where they start off with something new and then they always tie it back into the greater mythology, and the greater mythology is not really what I'm interested in. I want to see new stories from a totally different perspective. All right. Now, when I heard what Stargate Universe is going to be about, you know, I was interested, you know. And this turned out to be, like I said, how I wanted Voyager to be. You know, these guys were on this ship. And even after, what, 12 or 13 episodes in, they're still trying to figure out certain things about how the ship runs. And they still have questions of what would happen if and all that kind of stuff. And I like that. You know, things that happened in the beginning of the series are still resonating, like I said, 12 or 13 episodes later, you know. There's basically two factions on the ship. There are the scientists, who are all civilians, you know, scientists, the HR person, that kind of stuff. These people are all, you know, civilians. And then there's military, because, you know, this is a big military project. And the colonel, whose name I can't remember, the colonel is in charge of everything, you know, because, you know, he's in charge of the guys with the guns. So to me, it makes sense that he would be in charge, right? I mean, I don't care who you are. You don't really argue with a bunch of guys with guns who are trained to kill, all right? That's just me, unless you have guys behind you with bigger guns and better training. But hey, I'm not going to get all into that. But the Now, okay, so there's a clear-cut chain of command, right? Now, on the civilian side, there are really kind of two people who take charge. One is the HR person played by, she's billed on the show as Ming Hua. However, she's actually Ming Hua. Ming Na Wen, who was the voice of Mulan, I believe, and she was also on ER for a few years. And so she's like the HR person, and we all know HR people are evil. I take that back. I like HR. Just keep my paychecks coming. And she's nominally in charge. You know, she's supposed to have as much say in how things go as the colonel, but she doesn't really. And there's also the head of the science department, like the smartest guy on the ship, and his name is Rush, and he's like one of the few people I can remember because he's played by Robert Carlyle. Now, the only thing that I ever remember seeing Robert Carlyle in was 28 Days Later, and I saw it after I saw all of the episodes up to that point of Stargate Universe. And I didn't think that 28 Weeks Later was a good movie, or 28 Months Later, whatever it was. I didn't think it was a good movie at all. All right, it was the one about the rage virus, and he ended up getting infected. It was just like, ugh, what a bunch of crap. However, in this one, he's not playing somebody over-the-top crazy. He's playing how Dr. Smith in Lost in Space was portrayed in the very beginning. Most people have seen Lost in Space, the old 60s show, and they know him as this bumbling idiot, the pain type guy, who's always, you know, just greedy and just messing stuff up all the time. And, you know, now people are saying, well, you know, he had to be a pedophile or something, which, okay, whatever. I never got that vibe from him. I just thought that he was just weak. You know, he was just weakling. He was lame, right? He was devious. He was conniving. But he was a bumbling idiot, right? Smartest guy on the ship, but he was a bumbling idiot. Now, in the first few episodes, which were a lot more kind of action oriented rather than just like regular monster of the week type deals that it eventually became, he was an evil guy. You could just look at him, you could tell he was evil. Jonathan Harris played him with a very, very clear sense of malice. You looked at him and you just knew you did not turn your back on him because he would shank you. Okay. And if they had kept him like that, I think that show would have been so much better. But they wanted to make it, I guess, a little bit more family-friendly. That's why the heat between Don and Judy just became like this almost chaste, very sweet thing, right? Although you just knew that he was just had her ankles up on his shoulders. Anyway. But Dr. Smith was an evil, evil character in the beginning before he became a bumbling idiot. Rush is that same kind of devious, evil character. However, you can really see his motivation a little clearer than Dr. Smith. You know, Dr. Smith just wanted money, right? But Dr. Smith was evil. He was willing to kill all those people on the Jupiter too. All right. But Robert Carlyle plays Rush so matter of fact. Like, this guy is a smart guy who is trying to figure stuff out, right? And he's a really smart guy. He knows he's a smart guy, and so there's a sense of arrogance about him. However, although he has this could be evil streak to him, he's not an evil person. He doesn't really. I think I called him evil, but I take that back. I don't think he's good or evil. I think he's completely devoted to the quest for knowledge and information that such things like good and evil don't really matter to him. You know, I mean, if you get in his way and he thinks you need to go, then you're going to go. You know, I mean, that's just how it is. You just got to go. But at the same time, he's not going to go out of his way to kill people. Okay? So you have these two people who just immediately see that Rush and the Colonel are going to butt heads, right? Because the Colonel wants to keep everybody safe and try to figure out a way to get home. Rush is in absolutely no hurry to get home, and he wants to do all these crazy experiments. And in experiments, you know, sometimes stuff blows up and people get killed, and oh well, at least we know what not to do for the next time, okay? Which, like I said, depending on how you look at it, to me, that's not evil, all right? I'm a bit of a troubleshooter when it comes to, I no longer do PC support, but when I did, that was, you know, part of what you did. You said, okay, well, let's see what happens when I try this, all right? And if it worked, all right, fine. If it didn't, hope you back that up, you know? And I have lost, I'm not going to say I've never lost documents. I've probably lost less than my fair share of documents, I will say. All right, so this last episode, it was an episode that I think that all sci-fi shows have to do. There are certain shows that science fiction genre shows in particular have to do, okay? There is the Groundhog Day show, where a day repeats over and over again, okay? So something happens over and over again. They've already done that episode. They did it really well. It was one of the very few time travel episodes that didn't make me want to fucking puke, okay? There's also the interrogation episode, okay? It always comes down to somebody is being interrogated by something, okay? I hate those episodes. I hated it when Picard was being questioned, I think, by the Cardassians. I hated it when Jack the Ripper was talking to Sheridan on Babylon 5. I hate those episodes because I find them so incredibly boring. And I just know we're going to get to that one pretty soon. But there's also the betrayal episode. Okay. That's when somebody who you thought was on your side through thick and thin betrays you, right? In this case, they knew that things were going to happen, but in a military type setting, it's always like a mutiny. Okay. There was a mutiny on Battlestar Galactica. There was an attempted mutiny on Stargate universe, all right? But just like Battlestar Galactica, you see it coming. You see the build up to it. It doesn't come out of nowhere, right? There is this sense on the show that there are the haves and the have-nots. The haves are the ones with guns, the ones with access, and the have-nots are the ones who go around and basically do their jobs and then get sent to their quarters when things start to go bad, right? There are the parents, and there are the children. And in this case, the children rebelled, and like any good parent, the parent put that rebellion down, okay? And at the very end, like I said, send everybody to their room. But while you can still see that, there are certain characters that kind of straddle both lines, okay? One of them is Eli, who's like this wunderkind who ended up on the ship completely by accident. and he's turning out to be almost as smart as Rush, but Rush just has a lot more experience. You know, I think that with more experience, Eli could be smarter than Rush, right? And there's Chloe, who was the daughter of a senator. You know, the senator wanted to take a look at, you know, the Stargate base, and when the Stargate base was attacked, everybody had to go to the Stargate to, like, this random setting, and then that's how they ended up on Destiny. That's the ship. He ended up dying in like one of the first episodes. Sorry if I spoiled that for you, but shit, you know, watch the show. And her character has basically been like the everyman that we have to connect with, right? That us as a viewer supposed to connect with. We're supposed to connect with her, and we're supposed to connect with Eli. That's why they have connections to both sides, right? However, in a recent episode, she had been kidnapped by aliens, right? The aliens are after the ship Destiny. They snatched her. They got Rush in one episode. And in the next episode, these two people who've had very little to do with each other have this bonding moment because he ended up saving her when she thought everybody else was trying, you know, to kill her, right? So they have this bond now that nobody else can touch, not her boyfriend on the ship, not Eli, who's obviously hopelessly in love with her. So when the mutiny comes, she's one of the people who has a very pivotal role in it, and also a pivotal role in ending it. And one thing that I like is, like I said, they're still learning the ship. There is like a very good question, you know, well, what would happen if, and they're like, I don't know. You know, I mean, 13 episodes in and they're still finding things out, and I really dig that. But this, the ramifications from one episode to the next is what really draws me into this show, that really lets me know, okay, this isn't just, you know, a regular sci-fi show, right? There are questions that are open, but there are questions that are definitely going to be answered. There are personalities that you really care about. And that's one thing I, you know, a lot of people who I know, they fall into two categories with this show, right? Either they watched the first two Stargate shows, and apparently this one is so very different that they have no interest in it. In fact, people are complaining, oh, I want Atlantis to come back. Trust me, I'd rather have this show that I'm watching over a show that I wasn't watching any day of the week. And there are people who say, no, I'm not going to watch because I never watched the first two shows. Why bother jumping on board? Why bother jumping on the bandwagon now? I can see that argument just as well, right? However, I really wish more people would check this show out. I mean, this is what I say when I like complex storytelling. I mean, nothing is just really strictly black and white. There really are no good guys and bad guys, right? It really is varying shades of gray, all right? Any other show, they try to say, okay, you know, there are shades of gray, but everybody can fall on one side or another, good guy, bad guy. When you have a character like Rush, yeah, he can be considered a bad guy by some, but on the other side, the Colonel is pushing him for no reason. The Colonel tried to kill him, right? And so that's not the action of a good guy. You're thinking, well, he may have done it for the greater good. But then at the end, right, when it's all said and done, he regrets his actions, right? He did something bad. He did something evil, and yet he regrets his actions. And it's little things like that. It's little subtleties like that that just make me love this show. You know, this is a show I think more people should be watching, all right? It's definitely darker in tone from the other Stargate shows. I've never watched them, but everyone I've talked to has said the same thing, right? It's darker. The sets are darker. The tone is darker. You know, I kind of like that. But at the same time, it's not as dark as Battlestar Galactica, all right? Because Battlestar Galactica, after a while, that show just got oppressive, you know? It's like, even when they find a little bit of happiness, it does not. It's just like an oppressive, depressing show at times, you know? When it got to the end, I was just, there was a sense of relief that it was over, okay? It wasn't a sense of, wow, that was just like a well-told story, or, oh man, you know, I'm going to miss this show. It was just like, okay, it's over, you know? And don't get me wrong, I like Battlestar Galactica, right? But, man, they needed to lighten up sometimes, and they just never did, you know? I mean, just never did. Ugh, anyway, but, like I said, this is a really good show. If you're not watching Stargate Universe and you're kind of bummed that I spoiled some stuff, trust me, I didn't spoil anything of any that should ruin the show for you. All right, this is like one of the best shows on TV right now. All right, I'm just going to go out there and say it. To me, it ranks up there with Friday Night Lights and Sons of Anarchy, okay, which are two of the best shows, period. Those two are two great shows, and this is up there with them. Yeah, so if you get a chance, check out Stargate Universe. Drop me some email. Let me know what you think about the show. If you're watching it, tell me what you like about it. If you like it. If you're watching and you don't like it, tell me why you don't like it. If you're not watching it, drop me a line. Tell me why you don't want to watch it, you know? I'm interested in all that kind of stuff because, like I said, this is a show that I think anybody who likes sci-fi should like. Anybody who likes great storytelling should like it. Anybody who likes complex, well thought out plots and characters and dialogue, this is the show, okay? That's one thing I did want to bring up before with the Flash Forward. Flash Forward has this bad habit of needing to bring new viewers up to speed in every episode. So there's like a lot of exposition. That one character that I liked, the Somalian guy, who's just an excellent actor, he sat there and twice told his whole life story. And it was just like, are you kidding me? Who talks like that? Okay? With the dialogue on Stargate Universe, even though this is like a much more fantastic story because we're talking about people on a spaceship in parts unknown, okay, and yet the way they talk to each other is very real, okay? The way they look at each other sometimes are very real. Chloe's boyfriend is a military guy. He was on the other side of this attempted mutiny, and he gave her a look at one point, and it's just like, okay, that's a look of hurt, okay? the acting, oh my god, this is nothing I don't like about this show, okay? Nothing. So anyway, if you get a chance, check it out. Stargate Universe, it's on Sci-Fi. It comes on Fridays now, but between me recording the first part of this show, recording the second part, I found out something very, very major for sci-fi fans, and I may talk about this on the next episode, but WWE Next NXT has been canceled. However, they are getting SmackDown, WWE Friday Night SmackDown. So what could have been their flagship day has now been given away for wrestling. I know a lot of people are hating that, but let's face it, SmackDown will be their number one show for quite a while now, because SmackDown's not ECW. ECW did great numbers for sci-fi, but ECW was like their third brand that they gave less than two shits about. They at least give a shit about at least give two shits, maybe even three shits about SmackDown. So you're going to see a lot more the people who are going to come to SmackDown are going to be a lot more. Their ratings are going to be a lot higher. So the commercials, you know, the the commercial breaks where they have the ads for other shows, those are going to get a lot more eyeballs to them. So hopefully more people see, this show Eureka looks pretty good. This show Stargate Universe looks pretty good. I think I'll check it out on this other day. See what I'm saying? So some people think it's the end of the world, but people always think things are the end of the world. I think that this could be a good thing. But that messes up their whole Friday night deal. And guess what night Stargate Universe comes on? So, I don't know. Maybe they're going to make Tuesday nights their days. Personally, I would have moved wrestling to Thursday, but that's just me. Nobody asks me these things, or else the world would be much, much different. Anyway, if you have any comments, please send them to Derek@deliberatenoise.com. That's D-E-R-E-K. I don't have it now, but you can also go to deliberatenoise.com/sci-fi, and when you're there, you can leave comments on the blog postings for each show. I'm gonna try to put more like sci-fi related news up there, but I hate to say this, but don't hold your breath. don't hold your breath for that one. I was trying to vamp while I got the phone number. However, I don't know the phone number off the top of my head, but if you go to, of course, as soon as I say that, now all of a sudden it comes up. All right, so the website is deliberatenoise.com/sci-fi. The you're killing me here. It's killing me here. The email address is Derek at deliberatenoise.com. And finally, the phone number is 734-274-5919. Please go ahead. I gotta renew it pretty soon. Give me a call. Give me some comments on the website. Send me some email. Let me know what you think about Stargate Universe. And if you want to try to talk me out of dropping Flash Forward, go ahead and try. But you better come strong, because it's like I said, it really, really has lost a viewer. Anyway, all right, that's it. That's it for the show. Thanks for listening. And I don't know. Go watch Stargate Universe. Thanks.
I'm going to eat.